Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. This week, our program begins our conversation on activism in later life.
Our guest is Tara Uecki, who was one of the main organizers and contacts for what has been described as the largest march in Humboldt County's history. These marches happened all over the world as people came out to promote justice, equity, and human rights. Welcome to the program, Terry.
Thank you.
We're interested in why you decided to become active later in your life.
Well, I think it was serendipitous in a way. After the election, I think there were many people in a funk. Then I heard about this women's march in Washington, and then there was word that, oh, there's going to be one in San Francisco, etc. But at the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have one here. And then I got an email from a friend who asked the same question. There's been a bunch of us talking about maybe what if we had a march here? And she sent it out to probably a dozen people. And so we got together in mid-December and just sort of talked about it. So we had two meetings, and I guess I stepped up to the plate because I had recently retired and I had the time. I was the point person, but I do want to say that there were many women working on this. In fact, my sister Amy took a hand, as well as other women, in writing the press releases. By then, I was really working on it full-time and overtime, except not getting paid, of course. I made that decision because really, there wasn't anybody else at that point in time who was willing to put so much time into it. And then I did recruit other women over 2 weeks. Rebecca Stauffer, for one, really jumped in feet first. And really, all the women who joined the effort did so joyfully at whatever point they did. So it was a wonderful experience. I do feel that the reason so many people showed up, and some of them may have been Trump supporters as well. That's why we didn't want the march to be just anti-Trump. It was about what we stood for. I think there are probably more things that we share in common than the things that we do not. And even if we can agree to sort of disagree on some issues, that we could actually have a broader human rights platform if we're willing to include people whose views may be a little bit different than ours. I think it's powerful to show up in numbers. I think that's what made the women's marches so amazing. And of course, there's all this debate about fact and science and fake news. I do believe facts are important. I mean, that was my career, was really working on science-based directions, science-informed directions. But I also recognize that facts do not convince people all the time. There's been research done on that. So I feel that there needs to be people-to-people connections, one-on-one. And that's actually where I and a number of my friends are interested in putting our energy, is if we are going to counter all this current polarization that's going on. And I've been as guilty as many others. You can't begin to change people's minds possibly unless you're willing to listen. And so I do feel that that takes more time. It's probably slower, but I think over time it's a much more powerful way, and it's being a different type of activist in a way.
You know, that reminds me of something I heard on a PBS interview a few weeks ago. And I think the question was something like, is there going to be an ability to sustain the efforts that came in January with these marches around the country, certainly around the world?
I think it's hard to say, because I really feel like we're really riding this wave that keeps going and going. I would predict not, but I think, at least for me to be involved, I want to put myself where I feel it's a good fit and it makes use of my skill set, I guess, and where my passion is. I don't know if people will burn themselves out, but I do know, and I think it is because it's been sort of a woman-informed movement, is I keep hearing when they talk about, okay, let's do this, let's do this, they always talk about self-care. And I feel actually that that's something I did put on the back burner while I was working on the Women's March. And I realized I thought, wow, people who are involved in these movements over the years, no wonder they get burned out. You have to take care of yourself. And that was just really a very short time that it was so intense. And so I think if you're in it for the long haul, which people really, I think, should be thinking about, and it's important to have these rapid responses and sort of these frantic calls to Capitol Hill. But I also feel like we need to have some of those longer term strategies. And for me, that involves relationship building with people outside the circle that I'm most comfortable with.
For people who would like to get involved, who may never have been involved in such activities in the past, what do you recommend that they do?
You know, Mary Gelinas has written quite a bit, and her life's work, I think, has been around dialogue and facilitation. And I actually, for this road trip that's coming up in a couple of weeks, we want to try this dialogue structure that someone actually developed about bridging the red-blue divide. And basically, it's not rocket science. It's about listening to others and not starting off with an agenda of trying to change their minds. That's going to pretty much kill it in the beginning. And I'm sure I would feel the same way, too. I think first you've got to have the intent and the heart about that. We want to try out this dialogue structure and just see how that works. We'll be going through some red states along the way. It'll be sort of a combination of camping and visiting with old friends. But we realize in some of the towns that we'll be in, we won't know anybody. And so I'm actually trying to get a hold of people that were involved with women's marches as just an initial contact, because I always feel it's better to initially work with somebody who's from the community and then just see if we can set up having some conversations with people in the area. I think when you get to know people, you can sort of get past labels.
It's a wonderful thing that you're going to be doing to find common ground and to open up dialogue, and a good place for us to end the interview today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Terry. That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our engineer and editor.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to our website at chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week, and we hope you will be too.